I just want to see his face. Yes, sir. I don't know what you all are looking for when you get to heaven. A lot of us are looking for that mansion in the sky. All right. I mean, Jesus said it. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come to receive you to myself. And then there where I am, you will be also. Yes, I go to prepare a place for you. So a lot of us are waiting for that mansion in the sky. Right. I'm going to tell you what I'm waiting for. Amen. I want to see his face.
Yes.
You know why? It's on. Right. I think it's on. Yeah. It's all on. Right.
God.
I want to see his face because I want to see the one who paid the price for me. Amen. He was on a rugged cross. Stayed there. He could have got down. He could have called for legions of angels. He could have said, Father, I can't take it no more. But you know what the book of Hebrews says? It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. And he said, what that shame and all the criticism and the banter, pulling out the plucking out the beard on his face, putting the crown of thorns on his forehead, he says, I don't even care. Do what you can, because I'm going all the way.
All right.
For me, I just want to see his face.
Yes, sir.
You know, the disciples saw him for 3.5 years. They watched him, but you know what? They didn't see his glory. You know why? Because he was covered up. His deity was covered up in humanity. So they couldn't see who he really was. When we get to heaven, we're going to see him as he is. The brightness of his glory. We're going to see him in his fullness. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get there. And now if I can get my computer to work, there we go. Amen. All right, so do we have a title here? I don't think we have a title up there. I'm going to give you, say again, you may be seated. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to pray. I didn't forget to pray. We're going to be reading from the 19th Psalm, just the first 11 verses. That's basically where we're going to hang out today. And actually, I just had you sit down. Now I need you to stand back up. Because in honor of the Word of God, we're going to stand and read the Word of God. The 19th Psalm, the first 11 verses. Many of you have heard these verses, and I want to take you to a little different place with these verses. Chapter 19 of the Psalm, Book of Psalms. I'm reading from the New King James Version, so if you have your Bibles and you don't have New King James, don't worry. It's going to be pretty much the same. Reading from verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey on the honeycomb. Verse 11, last verse, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Right.
Amen. God bless his reading of his holy word. You may be seated now. The title that I had determined for this message is The Perfect Revelation of the Lord.
Right.
The Perfect Revelation of the Lord. And those verses I read to you, it starts out so good. I love this because this gives me an inkling of who God is. It starts out, it says, the heavens declare. You know, if you never went to church and you never met a Christian, you never met anybody that knew anything about the Bible, guess what? If you look up in the night sky and you see those planets, you can't see the planets so well, but you can see the stars and you can see that moon that shines at night. And you see that, and what this is saying is that those heavens that you see in that night, they declare, they proclaim who God is. They proclaim his very glory. Let me explain something to you really quick here. You know, the sun is a star. You know that, right? Stars don't really move. They just kind of sit there. The earth is a satellite, goes around the sun. How long does it take to get around the sun? It takes 1 year, 365 and one quarter days, which every 4 years that quarter turns into a day. We get an extra day in the year called a leap year, and you get a February 29th. Every 4 years, right? That one sun that we call that one star we call the sun just sits there. That's the heat from that sun that you feel like right now is the summertime is over 100 degrees in some areas. The heat of that sun, the light of that sun, the rays that are emanating from that one star have been doing it ever since God in the beginning said, "Let there be light." And all I'm saying is that the voice of God spoke enough power into that sun to generate this for thousands of years. And that's just one sat. That's just one star. One. Now just think about the amount of power that it takes for that one sun to do this. And it continues to do it. And you ain't never heard no scientist say the sun is burning out. It's not burning out. It's going to go on until God told it to stop. When he said, let there be light, he told every star in the universe, you're going to shine until I tell you to stop. And if he has that much power to put that much in one star that we call the sun, what about all those others? Billions of stars. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the heavens are declaring the glory of God and the power of God. God is all powerful. He has all power in his hands, and when we see the sun and the moonlight, let me tell you about the moonlight. First of all, the moon has no light. So where's the light come from? The light is being reflected from the sun. So at certain points in time, you don't see no moon out there because the moon has moved into a position where the sun doesn't shine on it anymore. How is that important to us? I'm talking about order. The universe is in great order. In the beginning, when you read in Genesis, it says he gave us the moon and the sun and the stars for seasons and for times. It says when he created everything, he says the evening and the morning were the first day. What am I saying? That's when time began. Before time began, what was there? Eternity. Time has a beginning and time has an ending. We're living in a time zone and we're going to be here until we get into eternity. In the end, when you read in the book of Revelation, what you'll see is it says there's no more sun. Why? Because we don't need it in eternity. There's no need for days and nights and seasons and times in eternity. This is where we're headed. I'm telling you about that one verse that says, the heavens declare the glory of God and shows forth the work of his hands. And listen, it goes on and says, it does this every day. It's been doing it every day since the beginning. It says, day unto day, it utters speech without even words. How do you sit there and look at that and say there is no God? What does the Bible say if you look at things like that? It says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You have to be a fool to look up there and see the sun. It looks like the earth, it looks like the sun is moving, doesn't it? Every day it looks like it's moving. That's not the sun moving, that's us moving. Listen, let me show you something. If you never noticed this, if you never got this in science class, the sun is a star, it just sits there. The earth is a satellite, and now the earth has its own little orbit, does this. And around that, what we call Earth, around it is going a moon The moon is going around. The sun, the earth is doing this. The moon is doing that. And how long does it take for the moon to get around the earth? 28 days, 30 days, or 31 days? 30 days have September, April, June, and November. The rest have 31, right? That's because that's how long it takes. And so the moon's going around the earth, and they're both together going around the sun. That's order. That's divine order. The God that did that, he's the invisible God, and the God of this great ordered universe connects with me and you. And he wants to be with me and you. And because the Bible tells us in 1 John that God is love, God determined that we would be the object of his affection. We're the ones that he made last out of all his creation. He created the moon and the stars. He created the universe. He created the earth. He created the plants, the animals, the things that fly, the things that swim, the things that walk the earth. And the last thing he did, he says, now let's make man in our image, after our likeness. And he's going to take dominion over all the earth and all that I've created. But there's something else he said. He says, let us make man in our image. We are image bearers. We are to reflect who he is. He made us to become a whole bunch of little gods. We're not gods, but we are to do the same things that he does. We are to look like our father. Raul probably can give you some pictures of his parents. I'm sure he looks just like his dad. My dad used to say, or my friends, my dad used to look at me and they said, boy, you're a chip off the old block. Right. What they were saying was, in the old days, the old men would get on the front porch in the rocking chair and they'd get a piece of wood and they'd get a knife and they'd whittle, cut pieces of wood off. Every little piece of that wood that would come off was a piece of that whole piece of wood. And they called it a chip off the block. And boy, you look just like your dad. You're a chip off the old block. Well, guess what? We're supposed to reflect our Father God. We're supposed to look just like him. And how does that work? Well, that works because Jesus came and he became the first fruits and he looks just like his Father. He says, that which my Father do, I do. I only do what my Father tells me to do. He was with his Father every day. Every day you hear about Jesus, he says he went away to pray. Before he came to earth, he was with his Father. When he came to earth in a shell made out of flesh, he was no longer with his Father in that way, but he never stopped being connected to his Father. He was always talking to his Father. And when his Father would tell him to do stuff, that's what he would do. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reflect our Father. What he does, that's what we are supposed to do. The heavens declare the glory of God. Their line, verse 4, their line has gone out throughout the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them he set a tabernacle for the sun. He's just telling you how it looks from our peer view, which is like a bridegroom coming out of a chamber. What he's talking about now is the sunrise. When the sun comes up in the morning, we see the brightness, and it just starts to spread out throughout the land. Its rising is from one end of heaven and a circuit to the other end. There's nothing hidden from its heat. Do you know that every day you can tell it's daytime, even when it's raining, even when the clouds are out, you can tell it's daytime. The sun is so powerful, even with cloud cover, you know it's daytime. Do you know your brain has a pineal, it's called a pineal gland in your brain because of the sunlight. When you get up in the morning and that sun comes up, your retina picks up the rays, even with your eyes closed. It knows there's light out there, and it causes your body to stop producing melatonin. You know what melatonin is? You can buy melatonin at the store. It puts you to sleep. Your body produces natural melatonin every night. That's why you go to sleep. Because the sun goes down, the pineal gland senses the darkness, and you start secreting melatonin. That's what makes you go to sleep. In the morning, it stops secreting the melatonin in response to the light. I'm just making, I hope you're as excited about this as I am. I'm talking about God here. Okay, now I want to get down to verse 7. I wanted to get here because verse 7 through 9 it uses some words. It says, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Then it says again in that same verse, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Then it says in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. And then it finally says, the judgments of the Lord are true. I just gave you those verses and those segments of the verse because each one of those words, verse 7 says the law, it's called the testimony, then it's called the statutes, then it's called the commandment, then it's called the fear, then it's called the judgments. All those words are nothing but synonyms for the word of God. They all mean the same. They're all aspects of the word of God. So what do we tell? What am I telling you here? The word of God is so important. I'm talking about your Bible. That's the word of God. It was penned by men. But the Bible speaks of itself. And it says that men were moved by the Holy Spirit to write those words. And it tells you, the first one says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect because the word of God is written pages of the reality of who God is. How do you know who God is without the Bible? You can't know who God is without the Bible. The word, that's called the word of God. It is the written word of God to give us a picture of the living word of God. Amen. It says it's perfect, and guess what it does? Converting the soul. How many been converted? Trust me when I tell you I'm converted. I've been converted. I am not the same kid that grew up in Compton. Committing crime. Yes, sir. Acting stupid. No sense. None. You know, when you get a certain age, you know more than your parents, right? You all remember that stage when we got to 16, 17? You guys are stupid. I don't know, maybe you didn't have that. Maybe you never went through that. I did. Mom and daddy were so stupid. They were so old-fashioned. Oh, my God. You know what? The older I got, the smarter they got. My dad used to say, boy, it's cold out there. He's talking about how hard life is. I didn't hear it when he told me, but boy, did I find out my own. I remember one day I was going to run away from home. And you know how far I got? Got to the front porch. Because it was getting late. It was getting cooler and cooler. And I said, oh, it's going to be cold. So he wasn't kidding. It wasn't just physically cold, going to be cold out there. It was going to be cold and it's going to be hard. And then I married her. And boy, you're talking about the reality. And I'm not talking about her person. I'm not talking about marrying her. I'm talking about life. I didn't have no good job. I was glad I had my little apartment. Glad I've had my little car. I had a car that was so big, it was so long. Somebody said, you got three cars. It was an old car, but it was cheap. I had some wheels. It was an Electra 225. Remember them? Boy, them things, woo, they were stretches. See? So the law of the Lord is perfect, but it converts the soul. It's not that we just come to church just so we can sit here and sing songs. It's to change our behavior. It's to change how we see things in life. It changes our perspective because it gives us a position. Because the Bible speaks of itself and it says of us, it says you are seated in heavenly places in Christ. So when you become a Christian, now you are seated in a place, a position, and you have a perspective that you didn't have before. You start to see things the way God sees them. See, when I see things, I see crisis and I see struggle. I can't get my eyes past what I'm looking at. But when I'm standing up, think about the difference between driving a bus through the Angeles National Forest and flying in a jet plane 32,000 feet above it. There's a big difference in the perspective, isn't it? When you drive through, those trees look humongous. And so do circumstances in life. They look humongous to us down here. But from God's perspective, God's looking at them little things, they look like little blades of grass. Why? Because for God, they're not hard. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. God is not afraid of our circumstances and situations. Matter of fact, he knew you were going to get in that circumstance and situation before you even got in it. and he didn't jump off. He didn't stand up off his throne. He's still seated on the throne. He's sitting there watching you go through. He don't stand up. He don't get up and start walking, pacing the floor. What am I going to do? No, because he already knew what was going to happen before it happened anyway. So if he needed time to figure out what to do, he had plenty of time to do that. But he already has a plan. That's what the Bible tells us, that I know the plans I have for you, plans of good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. He says that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. All things. That means the good things, the bad things, the things in between, the things that hurt you, the things that make you upset, hard times, death, sickness, all things work together for good. He didn't say all things were good. He said they work together for good. So he sees down the road what you're going to face, and he knows how hard it's going to be for you, but he takes that situation and he molds it into a direction that turns out for your benefit. That's the God we serve. That's the God we love. That's the God that we call him. He's a good, good father. And if I can get this thing to work, that would be great. So the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's consistent. And it says, making the simple wise. Making the simple wise. He's talking about the simple, meaning those that have a heart to know God. They have a heart. They know they need more. How many of us know we need more? We need to know more. We need to understand God's word more. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. There are things in life that we think are right. And then we do them and we go through and we find out, wow, didn't turn out quite like I thought it would. But the statutes of the Lord are right. Which means that God's word, because God knows the future, he knows how to give you the right information. He knows how to tell you. He knows how to get across to you. Stay here. Don't move. Or over here, he tells you, now get up and go. And see, when God speaks to you and he tells you what to do, our job is what? Obey. Obedience. Obedience makes the difference. And the statutes of the Lord, not only are they right, but look at what they do. They rejoice the heart. When you are obedient to God, in the end, you turn around and say, wow, this is good. Why? Because God designed it, and you did what he told you to do. Then it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, and it enlightening the eyes. What is he saying? He's enlightening the eyes. It gives you eyes. The scripture talks about giving us eyes to see. Talks about giving us ears to hear. It enlightens us. Light is not just for the room. It's not in the Bible. The light also has to do with understanding. When it's talking about enlightening something, somebody, you become more aware of what's surrounding you. You become more aware of the spiritual world that you can't see. You become more aware of the ways of God, and you become more aware of your part in this. You start to understand that you do have a part to play in this whole thing called life. We all need to have purpose. We need purpose. We need to know that my place in this universe has importance. And not only I need to know that, but people that you're going to encounter, you're going to run into, some people never get a hello. They never get acknowledged. We walk past people all the time. We don't say hello. We don't smile. We look down on the floor. People that are homeless, we walk past them, we just kind of look down on them. God looks at them and he sees souls. He sees souls in them just like he sees souls in me and you. They're not less than us. And some people need, you can change a person's day just by saying good morning. And because you might be the first person that has said good morning to them in weeks. Take advantage of the time we have with humanity. And I'm not just talking about the people you know, the people that are close to you. People need each other. There are people out there that feel invisible. There are people right now that want to die because they are not being considered. Nobody cares. Why should I live? The commandment of the Lord is enlightening the eyes. It lets us know humanity is what, from God's perspective, he sent Jesus to die for these people. The ones we're walking past. The ones we're ignoring. We can help them, but we don't. He died for them. He loves them. The fear of the Lord is clean. Now you wonder how does fear turn out, translate as the word of God. But it's a reminder to us that the word of God is to be feared, not the fear of a shaking, scared fear, but of a reverence. This is the powerful word of God. Recognize who I am compared to God and how he acknowledges us. How does a God that's that big and that powerful, he has all knowledge, he has all understanding, he's every place at once, how does he decide he wants to use somebody like me? Why does he think he needs me? It's not that he needs me, but I do need him. And by giving me an opportunity, he's entrusting me, he's entrusting you with his word. He's saying, I know your limitations, but I don't have limitations. And my word does not have limitations. He can fix anything that's broken. And how many know that most people that you know and I know are broken? We're broken. And we need to be fixed. The way to fix it is the fear of the Lord. The Bible talks about the fear. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it says the fear of the Lord is clean and it endures forever. Why does it endure forever? Because remember, we're talking about the word of God. The word of God is the written word, which is a representation of the living word. God is eternal. And guess what he's given to us? An inheritance. He's given us that same eternal life so that when we leave this life, we have a new place to go. When we close our life, her sister, when she was passing away, she was transitioning, her twin, she says, when I leave this life, when I close my eyes in this life, I open them in the presence of God. That's awesome. That's something. How old was she? She was 22. And she recognized God is real. To see his face. Then finally it says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You can't say that about no other law in no other land. They're not all true. They're not all good. They're not always fair. But the word of God is always true. It's always fair. We call God the righteous judge. His judgment is always correct. Why? Because he knows the motivation of our heart, not just the actions of our bodies. He knows the motivation of your heart. That's what he looks at. He looks at your heart. He looks at why you do the things you do, not just what you do. And he knows that we're all sinners that need a savior. If you know the Lord, you were just like those that don't know the Lord until you came to Christ. And you were headed to the wrong place. They're true and righteous altogether. And I wrap this up with the last two verses. It says more, talking about the word of God here. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord are more to be desired than gold. What's the price of gold now? How much is gold per ounce now? Look it up. Whatever it is, it, the word of God is more to be desired than that. I was looking at a thing where this president say back in the day that the Bank of America refused to take $1 billion into the account. They say, we won't take it. Shoot. I should have called them up and said, hey, bring it over here. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. So some gold is more pure than other gold. The purest of gold, he says, the word of God is more to be desired than that. Why? Because in the end, gold will get you as far as you die. And when you die, that's it. That gold is worthless to you. But the word of God is eternal. The word of God is going to take you past time and into eternity. And trust me, it doesn't begin when you die. Amen. It already began. It begins here. It begins here. It begins now. Much fine gold. Sweet. Listen to this. Sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. I don't think there's anything much sweeter than the honey on the honeycomb. But that's what the word of God tells us about. It says, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right now, some of you ready to go. You ready to go because you got some food on the table. You ready to go eat. Your mouth is watering. But he said that the word of God is sweeter than the honey on a honeycomb. You remember what Jesus was preaching and they said, when did he eat? And he said, my food is to do my Father's will. That's something. Moreover, verse 11, last verse, moreover, by them your servant is warned. So not only is the word good, not only is the word sweet and tasty and valuable, but the word of God gives us warning. It tells us what to do and what not to do. It tells you not only what he wants you to do that pleases him, but he tells you why. He tells you if you do it this way, this is what's going to happen. Look at Deuteronomy 28 when you get home. He says that if you do all my commandments and statutes and laws, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. But if you don't, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. There is a reward for the obedience to God and his word. But there's also a ramification. There is a bad result when you disobey. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Amen? Great reward. Great reward. I think that was it. Yeah. This message came this morning. I've been thinking about what am I going to talk about today? And got up this morning, and the Lord said, this is it. The word of the Lord, the word of God. So much value in the word of God. Stay in the word. Because when you get close to God, the way you get close to God is there's two things you do. He's got this brother came in here. We don't see him much. God bless you, man. I'm glad to see you. But you notice what he had in his hand when he walked in here? He got his Bible in his hand. That's it right there. Stay in that book. Let that book give you direction. Let that book be your guide. Because that book being your guide, that's God in that book. There's no book like the Bible. Do you know the Bible is the best, has been the bestseller of all time forever? Look at the list of the best. They got bestsellers on. They got a bestseller list. The Bible sells. There's more Bibles than any other book. There's a reason for that. I'm going to give you two verses and I'll shut up. One verse says the word of the Lord is a strong tower. Yes. It's a strong tower because what does a tower do? It gives you the ability to see far when enemies are approaching. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It says the word is a light. To light my way and give me understanding, give me direction, and also to give me guidance in dark places. Amen. Thank God for his word. Let's give the Lord a hand, please, for his word. the word of the Lord. Amen. If there's anyone here this morning that you heard something that sparked your interest, something that you know, stirred you and made you realize, you know what? I want to get closer to the God of this word. I want to learn the word of God more. You don't have to raise your hand, but if that's what you're thinking, we're going to pray. And also, we have Bible studies. We have Bible study on Thursday night. We have Bible study on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. What else do we have? We have prayer on Wednesday night. We have prayer every morning, 6 a.m. All these things are beneficial. They all strengthen your faith. They all give you more understanding of who God is. The more you know who God is, the more you start to understand who you are and why you are important. You are important to me. I need you. Your kids need you. Your parents need you. They need you to do right. They need you to show them that God is real. How many know God is real? Amen. Give him a hand, praise. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Amen. God bless you this morning. Father, this morning, Lord, this afternoon now, Father, we thank you.